Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
When it comes to the world of art, New England has a lot to offer. And if the last 12 months is anything to go by, art enthusiasts were treated to a veritable visual feast, from exhibitions by emerging young artists to retrospectives of the masters from bygone eras, not to mention the unveiling of several state-of-the-art gallery renovations. The Boston Globe's Pulitzer Prize-winning art critic Sebastian Smee joins us now to share his highlights from the world of art from 2012. And Sebastian, always great to see you and Happy New Year.
Thank you, and to you too.
So it seems that 2012 was a big year for the local art world. So let's jump right in and start with the new Renzo Piano Wing at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. Remind us about that.
Right. Well, it was a while ago that this new thing opened. It was in February, so it was at the start of the year. But it was a really big deal. Look, I mean, the Gardner Museum is one of the treasures of this city. There's no doubt about it. And it's, of course, famous for the fact that it's stayed basically the same for a very long time. Of course, that's not quite true, though, because they have added things like a shop and a cafe and all these things that ended up sort of crowding the old palazzo that Gardner built. Those things, of course, weren't there in her day. So the whole idea of this new renovation, which is in fact bigger than the original palazzo, was to move all those sort of amenities and ancillary functions to the new building, which, as you said, was designed by Renzo Piano.
And the controversy, and the Gardner's director, Ann Hawley, actually weathered quite a bit of criticism about this. The controversy is that the new wing, obviously modern, the original museum, a Venetian palace, essentially. So tell us about that.
A pastiche of a Venetian palace. Look, there was some controversy, and it was a very difficult thing. I mean, you can't... Their philosophy was that they didn't want to build something that tried to compete with the old building or mimic it in a sort of shallow way. So they went for an opposite approach. You know, they talked about yin and yang almost. And it is. It's a transparent, sleek, modern building. But they've kept it at arm's length from the original building. They're joined by a covered glass walkway, which is surrounded by beautiful landscaping. Look, I think all in all, they've done a pretty great job.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Yeah. A year on, you know, the controversy, I guess, has died down. People have accepted it. You think it works?
I do think it works. Yeah. I think that, you know, it is great that those functions are out of the old building and you go in there. One of the great things they've done is return the tapestry room where they used to have, up until recently, concerts and so on, to its former state. And, you know, a lot of the galleries in the Gardner are quite sort of crowded and intimate. Now you walk into this tapestry room, and it's this wonderful, open, expansive feeling. It's still dark, which is how it was intended to be, but it really adds to the experience of going through that museum.
I've always loved that museum, and here's a confession and a resolution for my 2013. I haven't yet seen this new wing, so I've got to get there.
Well, it's going to stay around for a while, so I have plenty of time.
Okay. That's the Renzo Piano Wing at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. So let's move south of Boston into nearby Connecticut to the reopening of the expanded and renovated Yale University Art Gallery in New Haven, which you've written about. Tell us about this.
Well, look, the Yale University Art Gallery is probably, along with Harvard Art Museum, the great college collection in the world. And that's saying something. There are some great ones out there, but it's just got a superlative collection. It aims at universality, by which I mean it doesn't just have great collections of European and American paintings, which it does have, but it's also got African art, it's got Southeast Asian art, it's got ancient Greek and Roman art, and on and on.
And so, speaking of European art, more than 100 works by Picasso, for
alone,
example.
Exactly.
Amazing.
I mean, it is staggering what they have. And because they've got such a great collection, they couldn't put it all on display. I mean, no museum can, but they've expanded their space. They've got three contiguous buildings now in the center of New Haven. And they've done a beautiful job with them, and they've pulled out of as many of the things that they had in storage as they can. And wow, it is just incredible. It's, you know, for me, it's not only the event of the year in New England art, but it's just one of the most beautiful gallery experiences I've had in this region. And
why did it take this long for them to expand like that? Is it because Yale has essentially had a teaching space there?
Or? Look, it is a teaching gallery in a sense, but look, they had a perfectly good functioning gallery for a long time, and they just decided it was time to expand, and these things do take a while in terms of raising the money and getting the right plan through and so on. Harvard Art Museums, which is, as I say, its only real competitor for a college museum, is in the midst of that right now with their own Renzo Piano designed extension, so or renovation of the old Fogg Museum. So, you know, that will come online in a couple of years, and it'll be interesting to see how the two compare. But for mine, you know, right now, Yale's is just a wonderful experience. It really is.
Well, another trip that I'm going to plan for 2013. So that's the Yale University Art Gallery in New Haven, and as you mentioned, the Harvard Art Museums just across the river from us in Cambridge. So, Sebastian, let's move on and talk a little bit about some of the big exhibitions that mark 2012. And let's start at the ICA, the Institute of Contemporary Art, and the show called This Will Have Been About the 1980s. And we've got a little bit of tape to play. My co-host, Meghna Chakrabarty, took a tour of the exhibit with the ICA's chief curator, Helen Molesworth. Here she is.
There's a huge embarrassment factor on the 80s. When I told people I was working on an 80s show, they would invariably like kind of cringe and make a joke. There was this kind of snap dismissal of the period. I mean, I think in the art world, there's been a refusal to deal with it because there were kind of two 80s. There was this really hardcore money 80s where the galleries got really big, the artists got really famous, and gone was the bohemian character of the art world.
So, Sebastian, that's Helen Molesworth, the chief curator at the ICA. Was the 80s, before I ask you what you thought about the, what you think about the exhibit, was the 80s misunderstood era of art?
Yeah, maybe. Look, Helen Molesworth is super smart and a great curator. We're lucky to have her in this town.
And
she did a great show. I mean, it's a terrific show. And I really agree with her point about these two 80s. You know, I feel that same embarrassment factor myself whenever I think about art in the 80s, to be honest. But her show really gives another aspect, another view onto this whole thing. And it's a very political show. You know, it deals a lot with artists sort of kick back against the big money thing and the Reagan era and the Thatcher era. And it deals with AIDS and the response to AIDS by artists and so on. It's in that sense, it's kind of a New York-centric show in many ways, but it's super smart. It's filled with great things. It's got a lot of variety. It's a well-paced show, like all of Helen Molesworth's shows, and I really recommend it. You know, the ICA is always a great museum to go to and a great place to take the kids, too.
Another thing Helen Molesworth told us, that despite frequent claims that the art of the 80s was deeply cynical, she sees it as a time of sort of intense grappling with the role of the artist in an increasingly commodified world. So there seems to be a sort of political kind of weight to this show, in a way.
There is, and both sides come out. I mean, probably the most sort of prominent work in the whole show is Jeff Koons's Bunny Rabbit, you know, made from stainless steel. It's a sort of a take on the inflatable balloon bunnies that are very common, and he's sort of turned it into this wonderful stainless steel sculpture. And in a way, Jeff Koons represents all the cynicism of the moneyed aspect of the 80s. Mm. But there's a lot of art in there, too, that's very soulful and heartfelt. And, you know, especially the work that responds to the AIDS crisis, it's incredibly moving. I mean, the final gallery has a lot of work related to that. And it's got the controversial things by people like Robert Mapplethorpe, but it's also got very sort of poignant, low-key, very moving works in response to that. It's a really well-balanced and cleverly thought-through show.
Okay, so that's This Will Have Been About the 1980s at the ICA in Boston. So, Sebastian, let's move north to Portland, Maine, to the Portland Museum of Art, and an exhibit of Winslow Homer's work, which I have to admit I've been dying to get to as well. Tell us about this exhibit.
Oh, what a wonderful artist. And yeah, I mean, Portland Art Museum about a decade ago came into possession of Homer's old studio at Prout's Neck, which is about 20 minutes drive away. They've spent the last decade doing it up. They haven't sort of tried to return it to exactly how it was in Homer's time, but you get the idea, and it's right there on the coast. So if you visit, and you have to book ahead, I mean, it's a very popular thing already, you know, you can get a sense of what he saw there, the crashing waves and so on. I was there on a sparkling, beautiful day, so...
Nothing better than a sparkling, beautiful day in Maine.
Exactly, but it was quite different to the paintings that he painted, which, of course, were all sort of dark and stormy. So they celebrated the opening of this studio with a show of 20 or 30 of these seascapes or coastal pictures. And wow, they are just tremendous. You know, these waves crashing into the the rocky coastline there, those pictures that Homer's so famous for.
He's so famous for those, and it's what I love about his work, because I love Maine so much, and I love the way he reflects Maine in his work so dramatically.
Yeah, no, he really does. It was a great show and definitely one of my favorites of the year.
What insight does the space, did it give you into his work, Sebastian?
Well, you know, I always loved the fact that Homer's a great storyteller. You know, he's a very modern artist who did one of the things that most modern art sort of shied away from, which was storytelling. And, you know, there are many of his pictures that we all know that have that sense of drama in them. What I love about these late seascapes, and you get a sense of it from visiting the studio and then from seeing the show of these paintings, is that the drama becomes suddenly... it's no longer a narrative. It's something much more elemental. And, you know, those paintings convey that elemental drama just so powerfully and with such a sort of rawness and immediacy. And you notice the way they crop so that you're almost thrust into the picture. Very powerful.
So that's Winslow Homer Studio at the Portland Museum of Art. Let's move back to Massachusetts, to the Addison Gallery of American Art at Phillips Academy in Andover, which you've written about. There you can see an exhibit from the American Vanguard, which includes works from people like William de Kooning and Jackson Pollock before they hit the big time. So tell us about this exhibit. It sounds great.
Well, it was, and for me, probably the show of the year. Look, the Addison is another one of these great galleries. It's connected to an educational institution. And I should add that all these galleries are free. I mean, you know, they are world-class museum collections, and they're free. And this was a show that they'd been working on for a few years, they put on. And yeah, it's about some of these huge names in American art. Willem de Kooning, Jackson Pollock, also David Smith, the sculptor, and how they were sort of part of a circle just before and during the Second World War that ended up blooming into the famous Abstract Expressionist movement. Mm-hmm. But this gets them just on the cusp of that, and it shows what they're struggling with. You know, modern art was detested by many people in America.
Right, so they're sort of dealing with a fragile idea that hadn't really been established yet.
Yeah, and they have no real public to speak of, mm-hmm. so they're painting for each other. And there was something about that, this circle of artists, male and female, working together, looking at each other's stuff, many of them, you know, centering on this figure of John Graham, a very interesting character.
I wanted to ask you about him, because he's sort of at the center of the exhibit, right?
He is, and you know, he'd come from Europe, and he was charismatic, and you know, there was something about him that was a bit odd, but he brought lots of news of European art to these American artists. You know, he knew various people like Duchamp, and you know, he was talking about surrealism and so on, and so they all sort of were under his spell for a while, and the show tells the story of how they came into his orbit and then moved off in their own directions and how they all related to each other. Stuart Davis is another artist in there, Arshile Gorky. So it's a fascinating story and just filled with beautiful pictures as well.
Finally, Sebastian, we've been talking about some of the highlights from the world of art in 2012, and when we talk about your beat, when you come in and talk to us about it, I'm always struck by what a rich world surrounds us from the world of arts, not just in Boston, but all over New England. I mean, you mentioned the Addison, the Yale Art Museum. I know there's a terrific museum out in Worcester, and it seems like everywhere you go around here, there's something worth seeing.
And I often wonder whether people fully appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I moved here from Australia 4 or 5 years ago, and it's been just such a wonderful process of discovery for me. But one of the things that I worry about is that people don't quite realize, you know, how rich these pickings are. I mean, in Boston alone, obviously, we have the great Museum of Fine Arts, and we have, when it opens fully in a little while, Harvard Art Museums. And the collections of those two museums alone, you know, that of the top six collections in terms of size in this whole country, two of them are just here in Boston, those two. But then we have these places just a little bit further afield, and some of them not that far afield. I mean, at Wellesley College, there's the Davis Museum.
It's a wonderful museum.
It really is. Smith College Museum of Art is probably my favorite college collection. And on and on. And then you go out to the Berkshires, and you've got Mass MoCA, which is just always a joy to go to, and the Clark Art Institute. So it goes on and on. And I love the fact that my beat at the Boston Globe is not just Boston, but New England. And for me, it's just a treat driving around this beautiful, you know, part of the country and seeing these wonderful museums.
Well, with 2013 just ahead of us, give us one sort of Sebastian Smee secret from the art world that folks should consider visiting or doing in the new year.
Right. I think at the Museum of Fine Arts, you know, there's going to be a lot happening in Asian art. And I've got a piece that's coming out in the Globe soon about what's going on in their Asian art collection. The MFA has one of the world's greatest collections of Asian art. And they're opening galleries devoted to Japanese art in January. So I'll be looking closely at that. I'm excited about it. Right now, a lot of their masterpieces are touring Japan, which is an amazing thing when you think about it. I mean, talk about bringing coals to Newcastle. But the Japanese collection at the MFA is the greatest outside of Japan. So it's not surprising in a way. So I think that'll be great when we get a chance to see, you know, some of the riches they have.
Well, we'll look forward to that. And as always, we'll look forward to more great reporting from you. The Boston Globe's Pulitzer Prize winning art critic, Sebastian Smee, thanks so much for coming in and Happy New Year.